Up in the morning and in the field, breaking my back just to pay my bills. Loving what I do till the day I'm dead. I'll be working on my old homestead.
Welcome back, folks. This is Lloyd Creech II.
And this is Teresa Creech.
And you're listening to Radio Hour with EKH on 104.9 FM, WSKV out of Stanton, Kentucky. Hope everybody's having a great and wonderful, I guess this would be summer or winter time weekend.
I'm worried about you.
Why are you worried?
Well, it's not summer.
Well, no, it's not. It's definitely not summer.
It's definitely the weekend.
And stuff.
You had to look at your watch. You don't have a watch. You had to look at your phone to see what day it was.
Yes. What day is this, baby?
It's your birthday.
Oh, wow.
December the 10th. See, I remember. and what are we doing anything special this weekend? Yes, we are. Because it's your birthday.
And stuff. So we are going to be out doing Christmassy stuff this weekend.
Because it's December. It's a tradition that we started from last year. So every weekend after Thanksgiving leading up to Christmas, I thought maybe it would feel a little bit more like Christmas, put you more in the Christmas spirit if you did things Christmas related. And it did.
And stuff. Except for the Christmas music stuff when you play
no,
it.
No, I like the Christmas music.
Except for when you play it on the TV for hours and
I
hours.
I don't play it for hours and hours.
And stuff. But
you'd have to be home to know that.
I am home. I come home at 5 or 4:30 every day.
And I don't have it playing for hours and hours and hours. But it's December, and I will put Christmas music on. He doesn't like that it's the old traditional Christmas music, like the Bing Crosby and Nat King Cole, and he don't like...
Well, it's not that
He'd rather hear Mariah Carey and how all that she wants for Christmas.
No, it's not that. It's just the one that you play... plays the same 10 songs over and over and over
again. That's okay. That's what I like about it.
And stuff, so, you know, throw a little splash of paint in there every now and then.
Next time you come home, it's going to be Elvis Christmas. That's my favorite Christmas.
Now, I like Elvis Christmas and stuff.
But you may not like it if I played it over and over and over.
Yeah, but like I said, throw a little splash of paint in there and so you...
Then the next time you come home, it's going to be the Chipmunks Christmas.
Well, that's fine, too. And stuff. I can listen to Chip and Dale and stuff. So, or Alvin and Theodore.
Yeah, it's not Chip and Dale.
No, sorry.
You took that wrong.
Alvin and Theodore. Mm-hmm. I corrected myself there. And
Teddy Allen and Theodore. Or Theodore is Teddy. What are their names?
Alvin and Theodore. And I don't remember.
There's three.
Yeah, Alvin, Theodore, and I can't remember.
Simon.
Simon, that's it. Yeah.
How do you not know who the Chipmunks are?
I am 45 today and stuff. That's a long time ago since I've seen the Chipmunks cartoons and stuff. Are you talking?
I was about to say I'm really I'm concerned about your childhood.
No, I one of my favorite cartoons of all time was the Donald Duck, and then the. It was some island and stuff. Darkwing Duck, was it? Stuff. That was
your favorite cartoon?
One of my favorite cartoons. And then one of my favorite shows was Alf.
Now you're dating yourself. I mean, yeah, you're dating yourself.
And then the favorite TV show was MacGyver and stuff.
Throw a little Quantum Leap.
No. MacGyver and stuff.
But Quantum Leap was on at the same time MacGyver was.
Yeah, you had the A-Team, the Fall Guy.
Knight Rider.
And then you got favorite movie of all time is The Goonies and stuff. And then one also too, one of the other favorite movies was Don Knotts in the Apple Dumpling Game. And stuff. My grandparents, when they lived over.
Were you alive when that came out?
Probably was.
The Apple Dumpling Game.
That was a good movie. And stuff. I actually bought that on DVD several years ago, and I just keep the copy in the thing here. But that was a funny movie.
When did that movie come out?
I don't know.
You were not alive when that movie came out.
I probably was not alive when the original came out.
No, it came out in 1975.
Oh, okay.
But it's based on a 1971 novel of the same name.
Okay, and they probably...
That's a cute movie. I had never seen it before I met you, but it is a cute movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's definitely before my time.
Uh-huh. But here I am, the ripe old age of 45 today, so...
How do you feel?
Awesome. I do. I feel awesome. Stuff. I got my back hurts from lifting so much and everything, but other than that, I feel pretty good.
I feel like, okay, I'm 40, and I just feel like I just discovered my tailbone.
But going on, see what are we doing this weekend anyway? And stuff.
We're going to go see Christmas lights.
Go see Christmas lights, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was just wondering. And then last week we went to... What did we do last week?
We went to Fort Boonesboro.
Yes, that's right.
That was kind of a disappointment. I was thinking it would have been a little bit more than what it was. But I think it was before COVID.
Yeah.
And then I guess they're kind of like trying to build it back up, but it was like an 18th century Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So in my mind, you have the blacksmith going, you have a big old bonfire, and you have people, and when you had people, and it was so dark.
Uh-huh.
It was really, really dark.
Yeah, the pathway was lit up by candles that I guess they probably make them there at the fort. And
no, they were... Well, yeah, the candles could have been.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice. It was something.
Yeah, different.
Yeah, it was kind of like Mustard Seed Hill last year.
Yeah.
It was nice, but not when you have a stroller.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it a little bit too many people if you're going up there if you got a stroller with you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to... I mean, the lights are beautiful. The parking is questionable because it's in a little bitty town of...
Carlisle.
Is it Carlisle?
I think so. And, or Millersburg.
Millersburg.
Yeah, Millersburg.
Yeah, because of the Military Institute.
Yeah. And so, if you do go up there and stuff, yeah, the parking is a little questionable at times. So, you can either park at the school or park in behind the old academy or park on the street. So.
Now, the lights were beautiful. And the really cool thing about Mustard Seed Hill, though, is they have the gingerbread houses.
Uh-huh.
And so, you get to see those and... like I said, that's one of those things that if you have a little one, it's probably not the best thing to do.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't have a little one,
uh-huh,
it would be enjoyable to kind of walk through and be able to actually stop and look at the gingerbread houses.
Uh-huh.
A lot of work goes into those.
Yeah, man.
I don't know that I've ever made one.
You've never made a gingerbread house?
No, I don't think so. Well, one with Girl Scouts, but that was the only one. That was a long time ago. Uh-huh. Maybe not as long as you and... But it was a long time ago.
I'm only 4 years older than you, honey. Your birthday's coming up in February.
You're over 4 years. 4 years, 2 months.
4 years.
3 months, actually. Isn't it? No.
It's about 4 years and 2 months.
Yeah.
So
a lot can happen in 4 years.
You know... As we get older and stuff, Teresa, since she's turned 40 and stuff, she's like, oh my God, I did not hurt like this before. And I'm like,
okay, but what?
You're only 40.
What did I start 40 with?
COVID.
Exactly. And guess what? It wasn't my only go with it.
Uh-huh.
I've had it twice.
Uh-huh.
And now when you go in places, case in point, voting.
Uh-huh.
I have never had to wait more than 5 minutes to vote.
Uh-huh. Well, this last election,
I had to wait about 25 minutes. I walked to the polling location, and they were wrapped all the way down the hall and all the way back the other direction. And the whole time, I'm sitting here thinking, please, Jesus, don't let me catch COVID. Please, Jesus, don't let me catch COVID. You know, because it's like, I don't know. It's just so strange to be living in a world... post-COVID.
Yeah.
Because before COVID, you could never imagine life like that.
Uh-huh.
during COVID, I think everybody is just in shock and scared to death. Like, you turn your TV on and it's nothing but fear.
Yeah.
You know, people got really sick. A lot of people did. I don't know why COVID affects some people the way it does.
Uh-huh. Greg Stone, he got to come home. He got to come home the other day and stuff.
Continued prayers for him. But, you know, you just don't know how it's going to impact you. But then now you, like, look around, and it's like the post-COVID world where COVID is still kind of on your mind.
Yeah.
Kind of. But everybody's like, going on with life.
Yeah.
And so, but we hardly eat in restaurants.
Yeah.
We just don't. We get it and we bring it home. Yeah. Unless we're like in Lexington somewhere. So that's kind of changed for us. I mean, we have eaten in restaurants, but, you know, we don't. Typically, we will just get it and bring it home.
Yeah.
But we're living in this really weird time where I haven't been to any concerts since COVID.
Yeah.
But standing in a line around a bunch of people and somebody coughs, I'm like, I'm going to go this way. Uh-huh. And we've done that a couple times in the grocery store. Somebody's... Well, grocery store.
We was in Winchester last weekend.
No.
And
we were in Rural King, and Lord bless his heart. The only way that I can explain this is this poor man, he's a younger guy, sounded like a cat with a hairball. It's just what it sounded like. So if you've ever heard a cat with a hairball. But he's at the front of the store, and I'm like, oh, I hope he feels better, you know. So we go on through the store, and everywhere I turn is this man coughing up this hairball. So I finally looked at Lloyd, and I said, we're done. We are leaving.
Yeah. And so we left. It's not the first time it's happened like that. So if somebody keeps on hacking and cacking.
I was going down an aisle, and somebody was hacking and coughing and doing all that. I turned around. I said, I'm not walking through that. We were in Walmart, I think, at the frozen food. I was like, we'll go the long way around.
Yeah. But it is. I mean,
it's just a really strange thing to have lived through. And, Lord, I hope I don't ever have to live through that again.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope for Bubby's lifetime he doesn't have to
kind
of experience that. But it does kind of, the flu is rampant.
Uh-huh. RSV is really bad this year.
RSV and the little ones. And so Bub got his flu shot. Uh-huh. I was like, I hope he, it didn't really seem to bother him until they were giving him the shot. He's so happy-go-lucky, he truly is. And he's laying there and he's like, you know, smiling and playing and... Then all of a sudden they put the needle in his leg, and you can read his face because his demeanor changed, and he just looks at me and goes, Mama. And then I'm like, oh, my heart. But it was over by the time he kept saying, boo, boo. I mean, it's his favorite thing now.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't have a boo-boo, he's like, boo-boo.
Yeah. Pointing his finger.
Boo-boo. He'll go over and kick the door and be like, oh, boo-boo. And I'm like, honey, no. We're not going to be that child. We're not going to be like the child in children's church who would go over to the wall and bump it with his head just so he could cry. It's just like, no, we're going to be okay. That boo-boo. He had a... He jumps on his knees.
Uh-huh.
Like, he'll jump down and land on his knees. And I'm like, whoa. When you get older, you don't do that. But he did that, and when they do that, when they're rough like that, they get little bruises.
Uh-huh.
Well, he had noticed he had a little bruise on his knee. And every time, you know, like we'd get ready for the day or something, he'd point it and go, boo, boo. And I said, I know. I said, it will heal. It will heal. Well, until the morning that he noticed that it was no longer there, and he cried because it was no longer there. He's like, oh, my boo boo's gone. And I'm like, I know, baby. It healed. He said, boo boo. And he cried because of his boo boo being gone. I don't know. He's like a woman. You don't know where his emotions are. I'm like, this is a dose of my own medicine. This is what I put Lloyd through. Love his heart.
Yes.
You're a good man.
And Yeah. Somebody said, you know, the Terrible Twos is going to be rough and stuff.
Oh, they tell you three is worse. I'm here to tell you.
Three is probably worse already.
It's not. No, they're so much fun. They truly are. But if the wind hits them the wrong way. But then I'm like, I'm just always a three-year. I'm a three-year-old 1 to 2 days a month.
1 to 2 days a week.
I'm going to. Huh?
1 to 2 days a week.
No, 1 to 2 days a month. I could tell it. I don't even like to be in my own body. I can't escape it, though. You know.
And so he's only been three for the last 2 weeks. But he's got so much emotion trying to.
He does.
He's trying to express his emotions, and his body just won't let him express them just yet. So. He's trying really hard and stuff.
He don't know if he wants to be mad. He don't know if he wants to be sad. And I'm like, toughen up, Buttercup. And then I'm like,
so that's you know, he's three, Trace is 40, I'm 45, and so we are a lot more.
We should be more practiced.
That stuff. We're me and Trace is definitely a lot more calmer than somebody else with a 3 year old, you know, somebody that's in their 20s.
Yeah, like we are kind of.
And so we look at him and we're like, toughen up, dude.
No,
you know,
we don't always do that.
It'll quit hurting here in a minute. Walk it off. And
no, we are not that cold. But what we are is we're not. Oh, it's like when your mom come over, you know, before we left for the radio, and she's like, show me your boo-boo. And I'm like, he don't have a boo-boo. What are we doing here? He don't have a boo-boo.
He's already forgot about the boo-boo.
He forgot about the boo-boo. Let's not introduce the boo-boo. You know, but no, we know that if we don't immediately react, it's any time. It's like if he's a-going and he trips over his feet and he falls. Uh-huh. We don't say nothing. We sit and see how he. It's like we're on a, you know, we're having a standoff to see what the other one is going to do, because we know that if we're like, oh my gosh, are you, you know, then he's really going to feed off of that. So I'll wait and see what he's going to do. I'm like, is it a hurt? Are you just going to get up and dust it off? Let's see what you're going to do. 9 times out of 10, if you don't react, he doesn't.
Yeah,
he doesn't. But somebody has to tell this to the grandma. Grandma is like, oh, no, 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 oh, no, no, no. Helicopter grandma.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, and we refer to her as grandma because it's looking like we are not 100%, but we are 99% that Bub will be permanent.
Yes.
He will be with us, hopefully. We will be moving into the adoption portion.
Yes.
Here within the next couple of weeks, we're hopeful. Mm-hmm. And so these are the roles that these people fill in his life. And he calls me Mama. He calls Daddy Wade and Daddy. He doesn't know his L's. And he calls Lloyd Wade. He calls him Daddy, but he calls him Wade.
Yeah.
Wade. I'm like, I hope he grows out of that before he goes to school. Uh-huh. And people be looking at me cross-eyed, being like, who's Wade, Teresa? Wade is Lloyd. Uh-huh. Lloyd is Wade. Wade is Daddy.
Yeah.
No, but he's
the happiest, go-luckiest kid you've ever met.
Yes, he is the best thing on this earth. I know we're biased, but still, he makes life so much better. Uh-huh. He truly is God's blessing. Uh-huh. His situation and how he came into our lives, horrible, but God made something good out of it. And so we are more than pleased and happy to have him, and he makes things. But yeah, I realize in him, like the little emotional outburst, I'm like, that's what it's like to be around me. Trust me, I'm self-aware.
You're learning.
But I'm not cute like him. That's the problem. It's like, if I was cute like him, I could get away with it. Then it's just, well, you middle-aged, hateful.
Oh, well.
At least you give me some grace.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's plenty of grace to go around, huh? I'm getting the eyes over
you. You should get the eyes. Yeah, I know. I can.
She says, "Man, you're in a bad mood today." I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm like equal 99% of the time."
No.
And you even told me this the other day. She's like, "How can you just go around and be like in the same kind of mood like you all
don't
the
have,
time?"
People have to take medicine for that. You don't take medicine for it. You're just...
I'm just level-headed. Just level. Easy.
You think level-headed or just checked out?
No, level-headed and stuff. I'm well aware of everything and stuff. I just don't let stuff bother me.
I want to share a story real quick.
And stuff. I think of stuff as like a grain of salt, and I throw it over my shoulder.
I know.
And go on.
I wish I could do that.
I've been in the hospital for stress and anxiety before.
Okay, and they
occasions.
Said that you give you a heart attack if you...
Yes.
Like you, we are well-matched. We are like oil and water. Or night and day.
Uh-huh.
Very different.
Uh-huh.
But together,
yeah,
we are
one.
So, I mean, we both have positives and we both have negatives, but we're together. We do good.
Yeah.
I want to tell a story real quick. The other night we went to Mount Sterling's Christmas parade.
Uh-huh.
I knew it was going to get cold. So I was like, "I'm going to wash my car." Well... I used to go through the automatic car wash until I realized that don't get your car washed. It don't get it clean,
You're
folks.
Just throwing money
you're
away.
Throwing the money away. You have to actually get out there and scrub your car.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, yeah, okay, so my car gets cleaner. Well, I can't have hard time getting the top of the... I have a Highlander.
Uh-huh.
And 2018, so it sits up a little bit higher, I think, than the newer ones. But, you know, I can't see up there, so I'm just kind of like blindly.
Uh-huh.
Well, the temperature's dropped because the sun has gone down.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting out of the car, and Lloyd's sitting in the passenger side, and he's looking at his phone, as he always does. And I'm going through, and I'm like washing it and everything, and I'm like, well, he's going to get out here, and he's going to help me at some point. Well, I'm going around, and he ain't getting out to help me. And then the whole time I'm talking to myself around the car, "You married you a winner." I'm sitting there scrubbing, getting that pink soap all over me, and I'm like, "Yep, it's 40-something degrees out here," and he's sitting there on his phone, and he's not... I'm like, "What kind of gentleman is that?" I mean, like, I even thought about opening that door and just spraying you. I was just gonna... So, I get in the car, and I was like, "Lloyd?"
She was ready to blow a gasket.
I said, "Lloyd, did it ever dawn on you? I pay for the car that we go everywhere in. I pay for the gas that we go everywhere in. Did it dawn on you that maybe you could help wash the car that we..." I was so mad. I was like, "Just know," and this is an emotional moment, and I'm telling on myself. I said, "Just know. The more I do by myself, the less I might need you. FYI." I was so mad because all you had to do was ask me. I said, "I'm not going to give you a roadmap. I'm not going to send the plane with the banner." And I was just... So those are like... So then when I look at little bitty Bubby, 3 years old, and I'm like, "I get you, dude. I understand. You're cute and you're learning, and I've been on this planet for 40 years, and I should have already learned by now." But he does. I'm kind of like, "Oh, it's hard."
No, it's not. I don't understand.
Yes, it is, because you don't have...
You don't have
the chemical makeup that a woman does, and
no,
so you don't
God.
Understand. Like, they juggle. We juggle a lot.
Uh-huh,
a lot.
Do. You do. And I'm one, I'm proud of you, and two, I mean, you're the mama, so you're the head dog.
I can hear you now. If you were to look up from your phone and see me sitting there talking to myself as I go around the car, you'd be like, "Hold on, bub, here we go."
And stuff. And I'm like, "Okay, so you got a little bit of dirt on it."
It wasn't a little bit of dirt. It
my Jeep hasn't been washed in...
I know, honey, but you're okay with
probably
that.
Probably last year.
But I'm not. I'm
and then the farm truck hasn't been washed since the last time we went camping.
Well, but here's the thing, like...
If I wash the truck, it will probably fall apart because the mud's what holds it together.
I hope it's not that bad.
That's the... It broke down the other day and stuff. It took me 4 days to figure out what was wrong with it and 2 hours to fix it. So,
what? It, I don't know. I think there is a self-awareness that comes to getting older, and I do believe that that is a blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, but sometimes when you're self-aware and you're like, man, I wish I hadn't acted like that. That was just... Well, how do I stop that? Lord, have mercy.
Man, and during the moment, Steph, I'm like, God, I wish you'd quit acting like that.
I have no words.
Speechless.
I'm speechless. That's when you know you better run. When I just look at you and don't have it. Normally, I'm like,
yeah,
Sally on the spot. I'll have me a rebuttal no matter what it is. Sometimes I need to put just a sock in it and just shut up. But I'm not wired that way. The good Lord, you know.
Good thing we're on the radio, not TV. So.
Oh, no. I would never be on TV. I don't even listen to myself on the radio. Uh-uh. I hope people still listen to us.
Oh, yeah.
I know those people are like, well, who's it going to be today? Is it going to be Paul or is it going to be old Teresa? Sorry, folks. It's old Teresa today.
All right. So one of my articles that I was going to talk about is the people that God puts in your life that... Either they're really interesting or you just want to stay away from them and stuff. And so I have a lot of very interesting people in my life. And we was talking about this on the way over here today. And like Paul, he's an older gentleman. He builds log cabins, works on 200, 250-year-old homes.
He's very knowledgeable.
He's a really good rock mason. And everything, so he's very interesting, knows a lot of stuff. Elihu Shepherd, that's a very interesting fellow to talk to, knows a whole lot, loves to talk to people, loves to teach people how to do their things, and so does Paul. So this other gentleman comes into my life a couple of months ago, and he's been coming into the store. His wife passed away a couple years ago, and... he is a knife maker. He's a blacksmith is what he is. And his forge is over in Menifee County. And so today I had to go get a pallet of water. And I went back to the farm, dropped my trailer off. And then come back to the store. And here's this gentleman in there. And he was getting a couple of things for the house and everything. And getting some things for him. And then I said, hey, how you doing today and stuff? He said, I'm doing pretty good. He says, you look like you're walking around kind of sore. And I said, well, it's Friday. I had to go get a thing of water and unload the truck this morning and everything. So my back's kind of kinked up and everything. But other than that, everything's great. And I said, hey, dude, I know you're a blacksmith. I said, where's your forge at? And he said, it's out behind my house. And it's over in Menifee County. And he does exceptional knives and stuff, like paring knives and kitchen knives and stuff. It's all handmade, hand-carved handles, super sharp knives. All of them are just really, really cool knives. I actually own a couple of them now. And so I was talking to him and everything. He said that he used to be the blacksmith for... Boonesboro, and so
Fort Boonesboro
and stuff. He used to be the blacksmith that did the Fort Boonesboro there, and then he also said he was a blacksmith for a living history up in Indiana also, and that's how he
what a really cool career path though. Yes. To be in a living history
teacher pretty much. Mm-hmm. And stuff, because you have a art or you have a skill or trade that you love so much that you're willing to
learn the history of it and then share it with.
Yes, exactly. And so he's a blacksmith. He lived his whole life as a living history teacher of sorts. And so he was telling me the story and stuff of, you know, when he moved over here and everything, and his wife and his friends and stuff like that. And I was like, man, this guy's really, really interesting. And so he's, you know, one of them I can add to the list over here and stuff of
the keep list.
You know, yeah, the keep list.
After the conversation before this, I'm wondering if I'm on the kicker to the curb list.
And so, you know, you got Elihu, you got Paul, you got Mr. Wolf from over in Menifee County and stuff. And it's just really, you know, Trace and stuff. We was talking about this on the way over here Friday night. And
several people you've met through this radio.
Yes, yes.
Through the EKH Facebook page and then from listeners from the radio. It's really cool.
And see, I talked to different people online through EKH, and then, you know, people, what was that TV show that we used to watch that they'd go around and help the homesteaders and stuff?
Oh, Homestead Rescue.
Homestead Rescue. They reached out to me several years ago and was like, hey, you know anybody that would, you know, be interested in this? And then, so I threw it out there on the EKH page. And so, you know, I'm sure that was a producer or something or other at the time. And so that was really cool that, you know, I was able to, you know, I didn't actually talk to him. I just, you know, here's the information.
You know what that kind of teaches you, though?
What's that?
This radio show would have never happened had you not gone to the class.
Yeah, the herb class. Yeah, the herb class.
Where Mary was attending that class as well.
Yeah. And so it's just the really interesting that God puts certain people in your life, and he's like, hey, I'm going to stick this person in there and stuff, and it's up to you if you want to get to know them or not. And
well, and not everybody that gets put in your path is meant there. They may be there for a season. They may be there for a long time, a couple seasons. You know, you just never know.
And it's up to you if you want to, you know, follow, you know, that person and get to know them and everything. Me and Paul's been good friends for a couple years now. And we text each other back and forth, or he'll call me and stuff. And he's working on a house up in Millersburg right now. And he's like, man, you're going to have to come up here and see this house. This is a really cool house. I'm like, I'll get up there one of these days. One of these days I got to get up there and stuff. But, you know, it's just the different, you know, if you sit back and think about to yourself and stuff, that all the people that God's put into your life and stuff, and how cool some of them really are, and how interesting they really are and stuff, like at Mr. Wolf over in Menifee County, Paul, and Elihu, and several other, the guy that used to make the handmade furniture up in Menifee County and stuff, that was the school bus driver and stuff. So many cool people and stuff, and you just have to go out there and, you know, hey, how you doing? And stuff, and that's what I did today and stuff. I went out and seen this guy. I said, hey, man, how you doing? And I knew he was a knife maker and stuff, and got to talking about it, and then found out, you know, that he's a really cool guy. So, all right, Teresa, that's what?
You want to ask me, do I have articles? And the answer is nope, I don't. I don't.
Okay. I forgot what I was going to talk about. I had another one.
Well, you want to talk? I guess we can say one of the things that we're going to be doing.
What's that?
In Minford, Ohio, they have a Christmas cave. They have gravel mines. And twice a year, they have an event for Christmas, and they have an event for Easter. But the Christmas cave, and this is the coolest thing ever, is because they've put so much effort into this. They've done it for several years now. It's about a mile long in the different passages in this gravel mine. But it depicts the birth of Christ. And so, and they charge nothing. I think a few dollars to park. And then they accept like maybe $1 a person for donation. Uh-huh. And I just thought, how amazing is that to put something on like that and not, you know, anybody can come, not just, you know, because when we do the Southern Lights, $35 a vehicle to see lights. We're going to do it. We're going to do it because that's what we do. But I'm just like, so, but I had never heard of the Christmas Cave. So we're going to check that out.
Yeah.
And then up in the area, they have this place called Dogwood Pass, which is like an old West town. It's set up like an old West town and they have Christmas lights and.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. I just hope this rain will.
Yeah, it's kind of misty when we come in Friday night and stuff. Hopefully it's all cleared up and gone by Saturday. Saturday looks to be like a high of 55 and like a 10% chance of rain or
but
something.
But it's like getting dark now at 5 o'clock, 5:15.
Yeah, and stuff. December 21st is sure upon us, and it's the shortest day of the year, the winter solstice. And so we ain't far from the shortest day of the year and stuff. It'd be 4:30 and it's gonna be dark, so but
okay, I do have something.
Okay.
Last time I was on the radio with you, however long ago that was. 2 weeks.
Yeah, at least
about
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
10 frugal lessons from the Amish.
Okay.
So I don't know about anybody else, but the month of December, I swear I need to carry around a fire extinguisher.
What's that?
For my debit card. And my credit card. I mean, how is it that you spend so much in the month of December?
Well, yeah, you spend it on presents and stuff. And I have, you know, insurance and I have taxes on the vehicle and
well, I have all that too, honey. And a mortgage.
I know, but not in the month of December. So you got to worry about Christmas, and you got to worry about the taxes and everything right at around Christmas, everything, because that's my birthday month and everything. And so Christmas has always been a little bit rougher, especially.
Well, if you know that, then plan ahead.
I try to and stuff. I try to make a lot of the Christmas presents and stuff. I haven't really done a whole lot in the shop yet and stuff, but planning on to.
No, but it does seem like money just whoop out the door. I hope it comes back in the door. I don't know how it's going to come back in the door, but hopefully it does. But these are some frugal lessons from the Amish, and the first one on there is live debt-free. Most Americans are in debt, and that's considered the norm. The Amish, on the other hand, believe in saving up and paying cash for what they want and need. They don't take on debt as our culture does. Instead, culture values wisdom and hard work rather than instant gratification. So if you don't have the cash for it, don't buy it. Plan purchase ahead of time so that you have the right amount of money. Something else that will help you with this is a smaller house.
Uh-huh.
I don't buy stuff.
Yeah.
One, I don't have room for stuff, but it makes it very difficult around Christmas and birthday time because you're like, what do we have room for and what do we not have room for? So the second one was learn skills. Before Amish children leave their home, their families ensure that they possess a set of skills that will help them in the future. These skills help them save money, learning how to mend and sew clothing, take care of livestock, how to bale hay, make their own future, and more is very normal. Building life skills isn't something that most people learn today, but it does help to save money because you don't have to depend on someone else to do it for you. For example, most Amish girls are taught how to mend, sew, and embroider. Instead of buying new clothes, they sew their outfits and mend holes. Lloyd is the only man I know that he'd be like, oh, I have to patch my shirt, or I have to patch my jeans. And the man patched his shirt and patched his jeans. Now when the buttons start pulling apart, there ain't nothing that you can do for that. Lay off the sweets.
That's the I can sew. Uh-huh.
The Amish spend a lot of their time growing and preserving their food. Not only does this ensure their grocery bill costs less, but it also increases the quality of their food. Growing your own food cuts down on grocery bills. Most Amish families have large gardens where they grow most of their food. They have chickens and other livestock as well to help support their family. If they can grow or raise it on their own, they do. Now, see, we are really big into gardens, but in the last couple of years, there hasn't been as much time to really garden and harvest and can and hopefully that's something that we can get back to.
Here's you something to look at and stuff. So as I'm unloading a grocery truck today and stuff, we get a case of eggs off. And eggs are through the roof expensive right now. They're blaming it on bird flu and a couple other factors and stuff. But so we looked at the price and stuff, and it was like, holy cow, we got to pay $130 for a case of eggs and stuff. And
yeah, but I'll buy them from you because I go through probably 2 dozen a week.
And so the thing was here lately and stuff, I know several people that's getting back into the chicken business. And going,
well, you don't give them advice about chickens, do you?
No.
Okay. Because your chickens would not lay eggs.
My Aunt Susie and stuff, she's like, Lloyd, I'm thinking about getting chickens and stuff. She said, if I pay you, will you give me or will you build me a chicken coop? And I'm like, sure, I'll even give you a chicken coop. I got one that just needs the floor put back in it, and it's ready to go. And she goes, really? And I was like, yes, I'll give it to you. And she's like, I'll pay you for it. And I was like, no, I'll give it to you. Just to get it off.
You don't like your chicken coop?
It's cool. It holds, you know, 5 or 6 birds, and it make a really good chicken coop.
But when you have hunting dogs next door, they not gonna lay eggs. They stayed stressed all the time.
Yeah, and so, but she's like, you know, with the price of eggs the way they are right now, and as many people that live with in her house and everything, they go through a lot of eggs. And so she's like, I think I'm, you know, going to go back to chickens and stuff. And I was like, okay. I said, I'll give you the coop, but you got to get the birds and the food and the heat lamp and all that stuff. So.
And some people won't eat a chicken egg. I've tried it. It is richer because it's a better quality feed that bird is getting. And that bird is not in a barn with 1,000 other chickens. Uh-huh. So, I mean... We tried it. That's what we did. Well, you got the chicks during COVID, didn't you?
Yeah. When the first outbreak really started happening and stuff, I went and got a bunch of chicks and everything and raised them, and they were COVID chickens.
Our COVID chickens?
Yep.
We don't have no more COVID chickens.
No.
They all passed.
Yep.
And they didn't lay eggs.
Yep.
But I think I know why they didn't lay the eggs.
Yeah.
It was because they were stressed.
Yeah, high stress.
The next one is save up. Spending money just to spend it isn't part of the Amish lifestyle at all. They don't typically shop just to shop. Instead, they prefer to save their money for a rainy day. Part of the Amish lifestyle is to live on less to create a rainy day fund. The Amish know without a doubt that rain will come one day. The question is just when that rain will come, when rather than if it'll come. Buy in bulk. And this is something that I wish we could do more of, but we just don't have the storage space. Uh-huh. If you're lucky enough to live near an Amish store, you'll notice that so many things are sold in bulk. Buying in bulk typically saves money because the per unit cost is cheaper than a smaller container. So the Amish typically buy things like rice, oats, flours, and beans in bulk. They can freeze or properly store the food until they need to use it. You can consider what foods you should buy in bulk. Make sure it's an item that you use on a regular basis. If your family hates oats, buying a bulk oatmeal won't save you money. In fact, it's a waste of money. Look first at what you have. When the Amish think about buying something, they first look at what they have available. Can you use something else in place of that item? Can you make it out of something else? Being creative and inventive is part of living a frugal life. I'm going to stop right here because... So, I ordered this 3-panel window cling. It looks like stained glass, and it's a nativity.
Uh-huh.
Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus... The wise men, the 3 kings, you know, and it's beautiful.
It is.
But it's really only, you really can't see the beauty in it unless you can light it up.
Uh-huh.
So I had gone to Walmart to purchase those LED tape
lights. Yeah.
Lights. And I thought, well, that would be able to light up that window. It wasn't bright enough.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really get, you didn't get the stained glass effect.
Yeah.
So we have this lot that Lloyd has, and I thought, well, let me just see if it'll even light up. So he takes it off of its stand,
uh-huh.
and he puts it on the back of the love seat, and he shines it out. And I'm like, oh, that's really nice looking. Mm-hmm. Now, all we need is a stand in order to hold the lamp. So I was like, Lloyd, he had the stand already built for something else. A wooden stand, about 5 feet, you think?
It's 43 and a quarter inches.
Okay. But we needed something at the top of it that would hold the lot just right up to the back of that so that when you could see it project through, the light project through the stained glass window decor. And so he's like, well, let me go to the garage. Well, I went out there to the garage too, and he's doing something, and something tells me to look down, and I look down, and I'm like, Lloyd, what's that? He goes, that's a light. Well, it was a light that was on one of those bendable, kind of like a desk lamp. I said, well, would that work? And he said, yeah, it was on his sander, so it already had holes, a bracket, and all it needed to do was to
screw it into the wood.
Yeah. And it worked amazing. But we had to think about three or four. I mean, we just sat there and looked at each other. Well, what if we did this? What if we did that? And we ended up having what we needed. I did end up buying a new smart bulb for it, though.
And she's like, and, you know, she's like, she looked in the shop and stuff, and the pedestal is from something we did 4 or 5 years ago. And I was like, we'll use those one day. Oh, I'll keep that. And then the light was from a sander that I bought several years ago. And I was like, I don't need the light on it, so I just throw it under the desk there. And I might need that one of these days. And then she gives me some stuff in a box last year and stuff. And I went through the box, and it had a bukus of screws and stuff in it. I was like, hey, I might need that one of these days.
The problem is that if you never get rid of some stuff, though, you run out of room and you become a hoarder.
I am not a hoarder and stuff, but I do not throw useful stuff away.
Well, and that's good, because we were able to make, so what's real, we live in an older home, and in our living room we have the big pane glass window with the two smaller windows on the side, and so that's where we put the nativity window cling. And then it, I mean, it looked good, but then I was like, but you know, Lowe's sells like the window film. And if we were to put that around it, well, okay, it looks amazing. But I had to pray, and then cursing up underneath my breath, and I have to repent. I mean, it was not the easiest stuff to put up at all. It was not easy, but it looks pretty.
Yeah, it does. It turned out, it made the
nativity
stand out more than if it just had a plain glass window.
Yeah, and it gives us some privacy. So, you know, because we have blinds, we ended up taking, it was kind of like a...
Did you look for blinds today?
No, I didn't look for blinds today.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not going to put them up until after Christmas when that window thing comes down. So, it looks like rice paper, and what rice paper is when you go... like in the Japanese screens, the light comes through,
room
but you
dividers.
Can't see through it. Yeah. So that's what we put on the outside, or that I put on the outsides. That stuff was harder than... It's $40 for about one window will cover. But I had to cut mine. And I'm going to do it again next year because it's important. You know, we have a 10-foot Santa Claus in our front yard.
Yeah.
And Santa, I like Santa.
Yeah.
And we have a 10-foot snowman in our backyard.
Yeah. Got a 12-foot Christmas tree.
Yeah, and a 12-foot Christmas tree. And I was like, but it doesn't feel right to have Santa Claus in the yard and not have something in the yard that represents the real meaning for Christmas.
Yeah.
So that's where that idea came from. And I really do like it. It turned out good.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's all still up there. Because with this window cling stuff, you just spray and stick it.
Lick it and stick it.
No, you spray and stick it. You
lick and stick it.
No, there was no licking of that paper going on. But I, just to be on the safe side, I said a prayer and I got me some scotch tape and put it up there. After doing all that work, I'm not having that fall down. No, sir. But anyways, we went all around the world for that. Look first at what you have at home before going out. in purchasing. And be happy with what you have. If you spend time thinking and reading about the Amish lifestyle, they don't focus on getting newer things. Their homes are simple and they have a minimalistic life. Some people won't find joy in being a minimalist, and that's okay. However, I think we can all agree that it's very important to find value in what you do have. Learning to be content is important. Learning to be content also helps you enjoy your home the way it is, instead of looking at its flaws. If it stops you from buying things you can't afford. In our culture, we tend to create a sense of need for things we could do without. This is true,
The more I do it by myself, the least I need you there. That's what that
we
said to me.
We tend to create a sense of need for things that we could live with. Now, why does that bring... I was mad. It was cold. You're a man. You're 6'4", and you can help reach the top of that car, but here I am on my tippy toes, and the whole front of me is like all pushed up against the car, not pretty, because it's covered in soap, and it was just like, why is he looking at that phone? The first thing I do when I get that phone is I'm going to throw it. That's what I'm going to do with that phone. I was mad. I mean, I was mad. Yep. The more I have to do by myself, the less I need you, Lloyd. Which is not true, because I love you with all my heart. I do.
Except for little instances like that.
I know sometimes, you know what, and here's the thing. If you think you're going to get married and you're just going to be lovey-dovey and you're going to like your husband every single day of your life.
You're so full of it that you'll be floating down.
You're
going to
be so disappointed. When real relationships... You love them, but you don't always have to like them. Uh-huh. You try hard. Some days I don't like me. So I know nobody else does. Here's the difference. The older I get, the less I care.
Exactly.
Right. I want you to like me, though.
Yeah, I love you. I don't have to like you. I just love you.
Yeah, okay. Man, people scratching their head. What is he thinking? She sounds like she's walking around the car. Here's the stupid thing. This is why we work. It was my stupid idea to wash the car at 43 degrees outside in the first place. So why should you be expected to get out and help me? And I think to myself, because that's the gentlemanly thing to do.
I'll remember that next time. Get back to the Amish thing.
Well, I think I'm...
Are you done already?
Well, you're the one that brought up the whole, the more I do, the less I need you.
That article was just speaking to me in that way.
It was speaking to you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the next one's use a clothesline. How would you...
I use a clothesline at Camargo all the time.
You know what? I put a clothesline up in Winchester when I lived there.
Yeah.
I used it one or two times, though, but for blankets, not so much for... I think if I had a door that went to the backyard instead of out the kitchen, that probably would be used. Because I don't dry my clothes. I hang dry my clothes.
Yeah, I do when I'm at the farm and stuff, except for in the wintertime. But I usually put them out on clothesline for sure.
It says, in reality, using a clothesline does save you money. Depending on your cost per kilowatt, using a dryer can cost you 50 to 75 cents per load.
Or more now.
A large family can spend a lot of money on drying their clothes. Now, I hang dry mine for reasons because, like, you put them in the dryer and they come out shrunk.
Well, I don't use fabric softener.
Well, I don't either.
That's the fabric softener because will...
That coats the screen in your dryer, and so it doesn't work properly.
Yeah. But it also doesn't let your clothes last as long either.
Oh, it breaks down
the whatever blend it is, cotton, polyester, you know, silk, whatever and stuff, it breaks it down.
Something that I started doing, though, is, you know, laundry soaps, people will smell, ooh, I like how that smells, ooh, I like how that smells. I get now dye-free, perfume-free, just because as strong as that stuff is, it can't be good for you to be on your clothes and to be smelling that all the time.
Hippie on me.
I'm not going all hippie on you. I'm just thinking, Facebook has those reels. A lot of them are from TikTok, And I call it the TikTok trance, because you can be sitting there going video after video after, and they're only like 30 seconds long. They're not as long as nothing. In one of them, this girl was talking about how when she grew up, they didn't even burn candles in the home, because whenever you burn something, it puts those VOEs or VOEs, I think, into the air, and it messes with your hormones, and it messes with your all this other stuff. And I thought, here I am with three or four rooms in the house, and they got wax in them because it smells so good. And so I've tried to cut back on that. I don't know. I'm just trying to be more mindful. We have a little person, and we want him to be as healthy as he can be.
Oh, yeah.
And you, too.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I'm going all hippie on you. I have replaced. I'll have you know that I'm helping to save the planet.
Uh-huh.
I no longer have any bottled shampoos in the bathtub.
Yeah.
They're all bars. Yeah. I found a company that I really like, and the shampoo, and they don't have near the chemicals in them. Just look at this beautiful silver mane.
It does. It is a lot softer, and it is a lot brighter.
Brighter.
It is. It's brighter than
brighter the because it's silver. I never jumped on the color my hair bandwagon. I was too afraid.
Uh-huh.
I'm a chicken when it comes to new things. I will be the first to admit it. And so, if I didn't color my hair before, why would I try coloring it now? So I'm just going to be one of those that just is going to gracefully go into it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of women out there that would love to have your hair color, and they pay big money to have your hair color.
I know that people tell me this, but at the same time, it does kind of make you feel like, man, I'm only 40, but I look, they're going to think I'm Bub's grandma.
I could be
old enough to be his grandma, actually.
Yeah, but who cares?
I know. But I don't know. Yeah, so right now the trend is silver gray. Well, they can't really color silver. They can color it gray, but they can't color it silver. So I'm rocking my old lady here.
I've been rocking mine for 30 years, so. You live with my dad long enough, stuff, you'll go silver too. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I remember being 19 and noticing the first strip in the front here that kind of, and then I look at a picture from 10 years ago and I'm like, man, my hair used to be so much darker. Uh-huh. And you know what? It's just kind of like, there's a Bible verse where it talks about silver hair is like a crown of glory or something. Uh-huh. Old. Life well lived, and that if you think about it, nobody is guaranteed to get older, and there's all these ads out there telling you do this so that you look younger and do this, and truth of the matter is it's a blessing.
It really is.
So I'm liking the hair color. People ask me, who colors your hair? I love your hair color. I'm coming into it. I'm pale too, though, so it doesn't.
Well, she's losing color because she gets mad at me, and so there goes a little bit more color, and there goes a little bit more color.
You're not a lion. It's true. No, that's not. I don't know why it does it, but here it is.
Take it or leave it.
I know, because you know what would happen if I colored my hair? It would be a dingy whatever color it was that I picked. At least now it looks like strands of silver.
Uh-huh.
I have tinsel on my head.
I swear mine's going back to brown.
Honey, your eyes are going bad. You got glaucoma. We need to go back to the doctor. Your hair is not getting no darker. Your eyes might be messed up.
I know my eyes are messed up. That's not here or there, but
we talked about this the last time. My age never really bothered me. You know, people turn 40 and it's like, well, I was getting over COVID and I was just happy to be alive.
Yeah.
It was not bad COVID. I didn't have to go to the hospital, but I was scared to death. I'm not going to lie, because, you know, I was one of those watching the news and seeing what I just remember the world shutting down.
Yeah.
And then all the fear that was peddled. But yeah, 40 never bothered me till I seen it on the doctor's blood work paperwork. Teresa Creech, female, aged 40. I'm like, what? That can't be right. You know what? To somebody that's 60, 40's young.
Uh-huh.
Now to somebody that's 20, I'm old. But that's okay, because you still are too young to know any better.
Dad is 69.5 years old.
Is he inching on 70?
He's inching on 70. He's halfway there.
You know, here's the thing about age. My aunt's husband, he's older than my aunt. They've been together for, I don't know, a long time, 30-some years, 37 years or something. He lost his grandson. His grandson was 33 years old.
Uh-huh.
33, I mean, like, so young. And he got double pneumonia and blood clot, and he's no longer with us, 33. So I won't complain about 40, and I won't complain about if I'm able to make it to 50, 60, and 70, because really and truly, every day that on this earth, but more so since Bubby's come into our uh-huh. life, I think he just kind of makes you want to uh-huh. be those little old people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. All right, folks, we are out of time for this week. I hope everybody enjoys listening, going back and forth and everything.
We'll have to post pictures of the Christmas cave. It's in Minford, Ohio, Minford, which is north of Portsmouth.
Yeah.
And then that dog would pass. So hopefully the weather stays nice. It's your birthday, so happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
I hope you will like your gift.
Uh-huh.
Your cake looks delicious.
Oh, did you give me a cake?
I did. I didn't bake it.
Is it ice cream?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
It's not. But I've only ever tried to make you. I made the cutest cupcakes one year.
You did. They were cute.
They look like I took Nutter Butters,
uh-huh.
and dipped them in chocolate. That uh-huh. was the head of the moose.
Yeah.
Animal crackers for the ears. Antlers.
Antlers.
And they were really cute, and I whipped it up from scratch.
Uh-huh. It was. I didn't really use, cute.
Put them in the refrigerator, and they were like eating the Sahara.
Yeah, she thinks that just because you make it, it should go in the refrigerator.
No, I don't think that. It's when you buy it from the store, it's in the refrigerator.
And stuff. That's more of a preservative kind of thing. They put extra moisture into the thing so it don't dry it out. Oh. But it's got, you know, it's loaded with preservatives and all that crap.
I never pretended to be a chef.
Yes.
Sally or a homemaker. Baker. We've been spending a whole lot of time watching the Great British Baking Show. And that's when you know that you've reached probably the senior years of your life. When you can sit for hours and hours watching somebody else bake.
One of my articles today was how to make thin and crispy chocolate chip cookies, how to make the soft, chewy chocolate chip cookies, and how to make the big, fluffy chocolate chip cookies.
I never really got into baking. I never really tried. I've always wanted to make an apple pie. I've always wanted to make homemade biscuits. I've never done that, and that's a simple thing to do.
It is.
I've just never gotten around to doing it.
I make my famous candy and everything, so.
You're no bakes.
Uh-huh. And got order for them this week, so.
I mean, I can imagine me, which I'm not British, but on the Great British Baking Show, because.
How you burn water?
I don't burn water. Yes, I have too. I've burned up my coffee in my percolator because I get too busy doing something else. That don't smell too pleasant, by the way.
Yeah, you got to quit talking. You got to quit.
Don't use the fire alarm as my just hush.
Timer, yeah. From time to time, you do.
That's the excuse that I'm going to use. Well, honey, we're going to have to eat out again tonight. And again, almost every night this week. I'm so sick of eating out.
Yeah. But I hope everybody enjoyed our conversations tonight. Jesse was in here before we started, so he goes, y'all have an interesting show.
No, he said unusual. That's like my mom's version of different. It's different,
uh-huh.
which means I don't like it, but I don't know how to tell you don't like it. That's okay.
And so I hope you liked our unusual show.
It has kind of gotten away from gardening and.
Well, it's winter time now, so I mean, I'm still trying to bush hog, and I'm still trying to farm, and just now starting to feed cattle and everything. So I'm still trying to finish up what everybody else finished up months ago.
If the Lord, listen, you're always going to have more than you can do.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
When you farm.
And so I just go with it now and everything. When I get it done, I get it done, and so on and so forth, and you know, just go with it.
Do what you can today, and what you can, and you can't get a whole lot done when it's dark at 5.
Uh huh.
you know, 5, 5:15. Yeah. This only lasts a little bit, so, and then we'll get back to having longer days. But then the thing is that I enjoy this time because there's so much to do and so much to look forward to. And then January comes in Texas.
All righty. All right, so everybody have a great and wonderful another December weekend. And we'll catch you back here next week. You got anything else to add, babe?
I don't. God bless you and hope you have a good week. And we will see you next time.
So long.
Nothing more to do till the day I'm dead.